olet ystävien seurassa.
Radio Helsinki.
Se oli Atarista ja I Won't Spend Another Night Alone. Ja nyt vieraamme on saapunut, eli päivän vieras. Meillä on vieraana vähän kauempaa. Meillä on kansainvälinen tällainen olut, ruoka, matkailutoimittaja Herlinda Heras studiossa. Hi Herlinda, how are you doing?
I am good. The happiest country in the world.
You've been to Finland now for over a week, haven't you?
Today makes it a week, and my jet lag is just finally starting to get a little better. I'm 10 hours difference from California.
So you, I mean, a lot of people say that you are one of the busiest and most well-connected people, for example, in the craft beer world, but also you're traveling a lot and doing a lot of other stuff. So tell me a little bit of your background.
Well, I'm a Navy brat, is what we call it in the States. So I've moved around a lot and seen a lot of the United States, you know, as my father traveled for the military. So I had to learn to make friends easily. So that makes for making connections easily as well. And I come from a long line of great cooks and multi-ethnic Mexican, Spanish, Italian. My father's also Apache, Native American, Indian, and Spanish from Spain. And so I've been cooking since I was really young, and I've been on TV for cooking in California. I've done cooking pop-ups, Mexican food in London. And I started helping Lagunitas many years ago with some events, and they connected me into Europe when I came over to visit some people and met some other people, started judging both food and beer here in Europe, which I'd already been doing in America. So let's see. I was the program coordinator for the Sonoma State University Craft Beer Appreciation Program, not the brewing, but the enjoying. So sensory,
the fun part.
Yeah, the fun part. Sensory and history and cooking with beer. I had lots of famous people in, like Mark Carpenter, who was the head brewer for Anchor Brewing for 45 years, come in, and he would teach and talk about what you know, back in 1971, you know, what were things like in San Francisco and California and America, you know, in beer back then. And Pete Slosberg from Pete's Wicked Ales about marketing, the first real marketing that was happening that wasn't Budweiser or something in the U.S., things like that. So, and then when COVID started, of course, we couldn't do that program, you know, anymore, sensory and drinking beer together. So then I started also volunteering in a vaccine clinic in California. I do a radio show as well in California near San Francisco in Sonoma County. It's 7.5 years now, and it's called Brouhaha. You can find it on podcast also. It's live broadcast first, like yours is, and then it gets converted to a podcast by a talent agency in Los Angeles. But that is all about craft beer, things that are fermented, sake, mead, cider, spirits, and travel, because beer makes the world a little smaller and more peaceful place.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. Let's talk about cooking first. I think it's so interesting that, I mean, you have a really kind of a colorful ethnic background. And I think that adds something special to cooking, because you're not learning only one cooking culture or food culture. You learn a lot.
Lots and lots. My mother is a fantastic cook. She's Italian and Spanish, which means she also has a temper. and she's got a little Portuguese in there, too. And then she's a fantastic cook. So I was very lucky when my friends were eating macaroni and cheese out of a box and hot dogs. Although I like your Finnish hot dogs. Those are really good. My mother was making full-on Italian food and Mexican food and, you know, tacos de lengua, tongue tacos, and Mexican rice, which my kids still ask for, you know, all the time. And they're, you know, their friends, will your mom make that rice and things like that. And then I've been doing catering with that, too, in the U.S.
I have to ask, what is Mexican rice? I mean, what is the real Mexican rice? Because, I mean, you get all kind of stuff as a Mexican rice.
Yeah,
so tell the listeners, what is Mexican
rice? That's true, because I've had versions of Mexican rice, like in London at Oaxaca, that were white rice with green parsley. And I'm like, no, you guys, that's not Mexican rice. Mexican rice is not the same thing as paella, which I made Mexican rice and tacos with spices I brought from California last night for our friend Sati Kaisa and a few other people last night. And they were confused when they said, like, aren't you going to do the rice and the meat and everything together? I'm like, no. Mexican rice is made separately. The meat is made separately for the tacos. It's not paella. Paella is Spanish. Mexican rice is white long grain rice and cumin. And I brought California mild chili powder because I wasn't sure how you guys did on spice. I also brought New Mexico chili powder, and I brought some for you too. You bloom the onion with the spices and the rice and some oil first, and you toast the rice a little bit in the oil. Mm-hmm. You kind of fry it while you're blooming.
Like a risotto a little bit.
Kind of like that, but then you're also got your chili powders and your cumin and a little bit of garlic and the onions and everything in there. Yeah, and brown it up. And then a can of tomatoes, whole tomatoes, and some chicken stock or water and a chicken bouillon, depending on your circumstances. It's a quick, easy, cheap thing to make, like most Mexican food is, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not. It's not always quick, but it tends to be fairly inexpensive. And then salt. Don't forget the salt. Otherwise, it's blah. lots of chili powder. And then you cover it, and you don't touch it until it gets all absorbed, the water or stock gets absorbed and gets fluffy. But you're not putting the meats and things in it, like in paella. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's good. I'll make you some.
Oh, cool.
but nice thing about it too is that it keep good for days. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually do things to it. Like in Mexico, they eat beans and rice for breakfast, you know, and
They kind of eat a warm breakfast, which is, for Finnish people, is really, really hard to believe, because in Finland we eat like bread and ham and cheese. And
herring. I had herring yesterday for breakfast.
Yeah, well, that's not that common. But, I mean, we eat kind of a cold breakfast. Mm-hmm. But in UK and, I mean, in Mexico and in Indonesia and a lot of Asian countries, they eat like a warm breakfast, real food.
Yeah, and a lot of what's funny is that it's interesting to me because with my dad being in the Navy, not only was I exposed to what my parents' ethnic backgrounds were, there's a lot of people from other countries, like the Navy guys met their wives in the Philippines and Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, etc. So they would do, and Filipino food is so good, and they have that Spanish influence as well. So we, all the neighbors would get together and make different foods together. But in Asia and in Mexico, they'll eat, rice and, soups and things for breakfast, which I think is, you get a nice breakfast going and get off to your day. But my mom used to cut up bananas to put on top of the Mexican rice for leftovers for breakfast, which is really, really good.
Oh, that sounds nice. Mm,
it's really good. Things like that. So sometimes we would do a lumpia party, which is a Filipino crispy, almost like an egg roll, where you get a whole bunch of, women together in the kitchen and wrapping and rolling these. And then we do a tamale party, which Mexican tamales, which are yummy, with a masa and meat and things. And the masa is a corn, almost like the idea of a polenta, but toastier. And you put the, the chicken or the meat in the middle with all kinds of Mexican spices. And you roll it up into a corn husk. And in the northern part of Mexico, which is more desert, you'll do it in corn husk. And in southern part of Mexico, you'll do it like in a banana leaf and steam it. And those are really good, too. But many, many hands make for lighter work, as they say. So you do tamale parties and lumpia parties and things like that. You probably do something similar here in Finland, I'm sure.
I think we have the Karelian pie parties.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's something that requires quite a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So you have to do I think that's kind of a similar.
Probably, yeah. I actually had a couple of those. Those are really good. Yeah, I might have to sneak some home to America.
So do you think that because you grew up in such a kind of a colorful environment, it increased your interest about food and cooking?
And travel. So I always wanted to go to the places I saw in my father's pictures. My dad would bring back different recipes from his travels as well. We were eating sushi and Korean barbecue way before everybody else was. So that definitely had a lot to do with it. And Filipino food like adobo and pancit, which is like a noodle dish that you could put all kinds of little leftover bits of vegetables and meat in. And I was always allowed in the kitchen. I was always part of the kitchen, you know, and some people don't think that kids don't, you know, belong in the kitchen. And
oh, they're wrong.
Yeah, they're totally wrong. And also, they wonder why your kids are picky, you know, oh, my kid won't eat anything. Well, if you have them helping you cook and they're part of the whole thing, you know, then they might have more interest in eating more diverse foods as well. Plus, they're proud of helping you make it, too. Yeah, my girls are great cooks.
So you had your children at the kitchen?
Yes. I have two daughters, and I was a working single mom. So, you know, cooking for yourself is also, you know, more economical. But also, I wanted them to learn how to take care of themselves later on. And I have friends of mine, like, who could, you know, weren't allowed in the kitchen. They can barely boil water. Like, come on, guys. So you do your kids a big favor, boys and girls. By having them cook with you. And if you can't cook, go ahead and do a cooking class with them.
What is your food philosophy?
Oh, boy. Well, when I travel, I always want to eat whatever the traditional food of, you know, the different nations or area regions that I'm in. When I visit people or when they come to visit me from other places, I want, and even in America, there's not just like an American food. There's Southern food, and you know, there's in the Midwest is different than California food. In California, we eat a lot of really fresh seasonal food. We're lucky. We're the produce basket of America in California, so we always have tons of fresh fruits and vegetables. A lot of great Mexican food. A lot of great Asian food.
Yeah, and you can use the fresh ingredients for all that.
Yeah, so my main philosophy is try to eat what's in season, try to cook what's in season, and, you know, trying to be sustainable as much as I can. I'm not to the point of zero waste yet. I wish I was, but I try not to waste anything, and I use parts of the food, you know, like beet greens and turnip greens that a lot of people don't always eat, but they're becoming more popular in the U.S. So, you know, in the southern part where my family's from Texas, so that's really good barbecue. You know, southern greens and really good cornbread and, you know, lots of Tex-Mex, you know, food, which is different than food in Mexico as well. And so I'm always about, you know, eat, you know, what is in season, where you are. And I also eat what's put in front of me. Like, if I'm visiting somebody's house, you know, I don't, you know, with my kids also, and even when I was growing up, we didn't get to go, oh, I don't eat that. I don't like that. No, I always try something new. So.
Täällä keskustelemme tänään olutruoka toimittaja Helena Heräsin kanssa, joka myös on hyvin tunnettu matkailutoimittajana ja tämän lisäksi tekee omaa radio-ohjelmaakin Jenkeissä. Ja jatkamme kohta keskustelua muun muassa Jenkkien ruokatrendeistä ja sivuamme totta kai vähän myös rokotustilannetta ja kaikkea muuta mielenkiintoista, mitä tässä nyt tulee seuraavan tunnin kanssa aikaa. Kuuntelet Radio Helsinkiä. Täällä on Aniko viiteen asti ja kohta kuunnellaan vähän President of the United Statesia.
Mitä täällä tapahtuu? Radio Helsinki.
Meillä on täällä vieraana Radio Helsingissä Herinda Heräs, matkailu-, ruoka-, juomatoimittaja, joka on kokenut erittäin paljon ja tietää myös aika paljon, mitä Jenkeissä tapahtuu tällä hetkellä, koska hän on sieltä kotoisin. Jatkamme jutustelua englanniksi ja jos haluatte alusta asti kuunnella, tuossa juteltiin jo aikaisemmin Herlindan ruokafilosofiasta, niin tämäkin haastattelu löytyy huomisesta lähtien, niin kuin kaikki muut oivat Radio Helsingin ohjelmat sieltä On Demand-puolelta, Radio Helsingin netistä. Että jos ei nyt ehdi kaikkea kuunnella, niin sieltä vaan. But let's continue. We were talking about food. Mm-hmm. And I got interested about the no waste. Is it that, I mean, something which is common in the States that now people are trying to use, I mean, to do kind of a no waste philosophy mm-hmm. about cooking and making food?
It's getting more common, especially where I live, because I live near San Francisco. California is very, you know, progressive with, you know, organic and those kind of things. And then that whole West Coast of America, which Washington, Oregon, California, so I'm sure you guys have, you know, Portland, mm-hmm. which also has great, you know, beers and coffee, of course.
Yes.
And Seattle and Washington, of course, where Starbucks is originally from, and lots of seafood and Pike Market and stuff. But that whole West Coast, and then also more of the East Coast, especially like New York, Brooklyn. My daughter lives in Brooklyn. They are trying to be more organic, bio, sustainable, recycling. We do a lot of recycling in California. But like my parents live in Amarillo, Texas, which is about as like cowboy country, you know, as you can get. And my dad is trying to get a recycling program in Amarillo. So it's not everywhere. And as you know, this is like when people ask me, they're like, oh, you're from, you know, especially during the Trump election and everything. And when Trump was in office, people would ask me, so you're from America. And I'm like, I'm from California. I'm from San Francisco. We're different than the rest of the country. But there's a lot of great, you know, things. But so Austin, Texas, people have probably heard of, is much more progressive. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're a little bit more limited by the governor that they have, that, you know, he is keeping, you know, he's not helping with getting recycling going. He won't let the schools do mask mandates. He won't let the state workers do mask mandates. Mm-hmm. And in California, you know, we're all about trying to, you know, keep everybody safe and keep everybody healthy and, you know, recycling, you know, sustainable, you know, organic as much as we can, things like that. So it's America's definitely a patchwork quilt.
Yeah, so it is like, I mean, different states, I mean, seems from here, I only been to like Miami and New York. So, I mean, I've never been to, a lot of people say that I've never been to real America. But I mean, it seems always almost like little countries.
Yes, it is.
With different laws and everything.
Oh, yeah. Different laws, even different alcohol laws as well. Mm-hmm. So some states like Utah, which is very much a Mormon church state, has the state alcohol and clubs where you can only go to state-owned places to get, you know, alcohol, and they have to have a certain license, and you can't buy, you know, alcohol on Sundays. And North Carolina is like that, what they call the Bible Belt. And then in California, we buy alcohol every day.
Yeah, so I mean, when we are discussing in Finland that the alcohol laws are really strict, I mean, we don't actually consider that in some parts of states they are even stricter.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm actually surprised at as progressive as Finland is, I'm surprised how strict your alcohol laws are here, and your taxation on the alcohol as well. I thought California had high taxes, but. But I mean, you guys have different stuff though. Like, so it's like I'm looking at the alcohol part of things. Everything else, I understand why you have the taxes here that you do. You have great health care. You have great transportation system here. California doesn't have a great transportation system. We all drive. So that part is not as sustainable. But we also have the most electric cars. Of course, Tesla's there. Mm-hmm. And hybrid cars. In the U.S. So we're trying to make up for, you know, some of that driving. But like here, you guys have such a great bus, tram, trains, you know, scooters.
Yeah. If you live in a big city, for example, if you live in Helsinki, you actually don't need a car. I mean, I don't have a car. Because, I mean, it's easier to go, because if you live in the center, you can't park your car, because parking is really expensive. Yeah. So
my daughter lives in New York, in Brooklyn, and she doesn't have a car there either, because it's the same thing. They do have the subway, and they have lots of transportation there. They've been doing that for a long time, and parking there is crazy. If you can find a parking spot, it's kind of insane. But they don't really need it, but they have enough, they have a lot of people there. It's a crowded city. So I highly recommend, if you come to the United States, you know, yes, New York City is a great city to go to, and San Francisco is beautiful. That's where, you know, near where I live. Music, food, you know, wine, restaurants, you know, the ocean and giant redwoods and everything. But also go into rural areas. Go ahead and visit Texas. See what that's like. I dare you. but also, you know, some of the, you know, even like I live in Sonoma County, which is really beautiful countryside, wine country, beer country. It's about an hour north of San Francisco. And that is different than a city. You know, we've got lots of trees. We've got lots of farms. It's a little slower pace of life as well. But if, you know, it's the same thing. Like, so I, you know, I've been in Helsinki. Beautiful. Modern, with mixed with old, your design here and everything is so beautiful. And then I was just in the countryside in Veikkola.
You were in Veikkola.
I was in Veikkola, on a lake in the countryside with lots of trees and green and sati and jumping in the sauna in the lake, boom, 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 lake sauna.
Like typical Finnish summer, I would say, because, I mean, even though Sahtikaisa you visited lives there, but I mean, a lot of people have their summer cottage, a place like that.
Or they commute, which is also kind of like what people do from the where I live. They'll commute from the countryside into San Francisco. And that's changing a bit, of course, because of COVID. Google is there, Tesla, Twitter, Facebook, Apple are all near San Francisco, not far from me. And people were commuting, but now they're actually having a lot of people are working from home. And so that'll probably be good for our planet a little bit, not being as many cars on the road. But definitely, if you come to visit America, see the city. And then also get out into the rural countryside. There's Airbnbs and, you know, B&Bs. And there's actually places that are on a, you know, working farm, you know, kind of like an agriturismo, but it's not really, that you can stay at and kind of just slow down the pace and see what people are like. And most everybody's pretty friendly in the U.S.
They definitely are. And you were too. Well, if we talk about the States a little bit more, I mean, you've been traveling a lot, I mean, there as well as on other countries. Are there any, I mean, specific places you would recommend?
Well, San Francisco, of course, Sonoma County, where I live, which is next to Napa Valley. And Napa is really pretty, but it's very formal. It's very expensive. Sonoma County, which is next to it, is on the coast. So you get the best of both worlds. You get, you know, Russian River Brewery. You know, one of the most famous breweries in the world is 5 miles from my home. And then there's the ocean and the giant redwoods, wine tasting, beer tasting, cider, distilleries, etc. I would also say Seattle is a great city. And that area also is really pretty, too, that you can go out to the oceans there. San Antonio, Texas, which is near Austin, that is a little bit more of the flavor of what like Tex-Mex is like. Killer food. Awesome food.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome food. Washington, D.C., where the Smithsonian Institutes are, that's also a great food town as well. Busy, of course. Nicer politicians in office now, thank God. But that's also great to go see like a lot of museums and history of America if you want. But of course, America is mainly built up of immigrants, so you can see a lot of history from everything that's come in. There's a Native American museum, a Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C., that has the best food in all of the Smithsonians. It's all this Native American foods by region. So then there's like buffalo and grains from the plains, like in the wild grasses, you know, in the plains area. And then on the West Coast Indians with like lots of seafood and salmon and things as well. So that's a fun city to go to also. New York City is fun. It's exhausting, but it's fun. I really actually also enjoy Boston, Massachusetts, where there is a lot of American history as well, and Philadelphia, where they signed the Declaration of Independence. That I was just there in September. We had a bad fire in California, as you guys probably heard, one fire after another. And I escaped from, you know, from California to Tara Nuren's house in Philadelphia area, and discovered a whole new, you know, aspect of American mm-hmm. history there. So that's actually a great town, too.
I have to ask, I mean, describe a little bit, what is Native American food? I mean, what's that?
Well, it depends, again, on the region. Uh-huh. So the Plains Indians, which is like Oklahoma, like in the middle of America, where there was like, it's flatter, and there's the, you know, the Plains Indians, and they did more of the buffalo and wild rices and grains and things there. And they would move their homes, like their teepee, nomadic, they would move them from place to place. Mm-hmm. And so that they wouldn't wipe out the, so Native American food, I have to say, it's actually probably the first sustainable food.
Oh, okay.
The first sustainable food. They would not stay in one place and wipe out the food, the deer, the buffalo, the venison. That didn't happen until the colonists came in, and they would just completely kill everything that they could get their hands on and then just leave it decimated and move on. The coastal Indians, like the Miwok, mm-hmm. Did a lot of fish. Things that they, you know, berries and things that they, you know, would find along the coast, a lot of shellfish, clams and oysters and things like that. I don't know who looked at an oyster first and decided that's going to be tasty, but. And then where my father is Lipan Apache Indian, which is from a tribe in Texas. So they would have been doing, you know, buffalo, probably armadillo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, armadillos and other kinds of. Like hare, like rabbits and things like that as well. And then also like wild grains and pecans. Nuts.
Täällä juttelemme Radio Helsingissä matkaolut ruokatoimittaja Herlinda Herasin kanssa, joka juuri kertoi, mitä kaikkea Jenkeissä kannattaa nähdä. Ja vähän käytiin syvemmällä myös Amerikan alkuperäisasukkaiden ruoassa. Seuraavaksi aiomme puhua vähän oluesta, mutta sitä ennen vähän musiikkia. Tässä on kuulkaa Albert Järvisen versio Don't Be Cruel-kappaleesta. Ja koska minä rakastan kovereita, niin soitamme tietysti näitä aina välillä. Minä olen Aniko ja täällä seurassanne. Viiteen asti.
Äntö men beinil asti ha. Radio Helsinki.
Täällä meillä Radio Helsingin iltapäivässä vieraita niin sanotusti rapakon takaa. Elikkä meillä on täällä matkailu ruokajuomatoimittaja Herlinda Heras, jonka kanssa kävimme vähän Jenkkien matkailuvinkkejä jo. Ja nyt vähän siirrymme ehkä sitä, että mitä kaikkea muuta hän on kokenut ympäri maailmaa. So Herlinda, you've been traveling all over the world. And you said earlier already that you kind of try to taste like the local tastes and the local like beverages. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about your trips and what do you recommend where people should go when we are allowed to go at some point.
Everybody get your vaccine shots. Get your vaccine shots so we can travel responsibly and safely and take care of each other, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what's interesting right now is that some countries are getting less vaccine than other countries, and I wish it could be more equal so mm-hmm. that everybody can travel around a little bit more and help them out with their tourism and stuff as well. So let's see. Well, I travel a lot, and partially, mainly for judging beer. I judge in Poland. I mm-hmm. judge the Craft Roku there. I judge the British Pie Awards in Melton Mowbray, England every year. And that is not like fruit pies and things. It's savory pies, you know. Steak and kidney pie, steak and ale pie, football pies, game pies, fish pie.
I think pie is everywhere in the world.
Yeah. Except for in America, well, I'm like the only savory one we had been doing is chicken pot pie, but mostly it's fruit pie. So, everybody always says in America, what's your favorite? Like, do you like the cherry pie or the apple pie? And I'm like, no, in England, we're having cold pork pie and steak and kidney pie and steak and ale pie and steak and mushrooms and chicken and football pie. So when you go to England,
What is a football pie?
So a football pie. So when you go to a soccer game, which you guys call football here, mm-hmm. You know, we call it soccer in the U.S., because then we have this other crazy football that doesn't make any sense. Because they don't actually use their feet in American football, so not really, only like one time. So when you go to a soccer game, a football game in England, probably Scotland and Wales and Ireland as well, you get a beer. Mm-hmm. Very civilized. We like that. Mm-hmm. Or cider. And a hand pie. It's a small pie that is usually a meat pie, a savory pie. They're doing more and more vegetarian and gluten-free pies as well, too. So we actually even have a gluten-free, free-from category. And you go to your seat and you have your beer and your pie and hopefully not get in a fight, you know, later. But so that is a football pie. So the individual football clubs, mm-hmm. like, you know, Liverpool or Manchester or even the small soccer football teams, clubs, will have their own pie. And they compete against each other.
That's something that we could actually do in Finland. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, for example, ice hockey is really huge in Finland. So we can do some, all the different teams, they should have their own ice hockey pie.
Yeah.
Somebody's listening.
They can compete again. And it's really fun to, mm-hmm. like, who's got, and they have the loyalty to their team and they have the loyalty to their food or their pie. And so baseball, like in America, we have, mm-hmm. baseball, which that's the other thing I would suggest. If you go to America, go to a baseball game. That's about as American as you can get, you know, baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. And you know, I always get a beer and a hot dog. But there's also San Francisco has been voted the best food at a baseball stadium in America. It overlooks the bay, you know, the ocean. We have everything from sushi to pizza to hot dogs and really, really good California beer, of course. So I would definitely suggest that if you go to America, go to a baseball game. It's a good, clean American fun there. And then, let's see, I judge the Birra dell'Anno, which is the beer of the year in Rimini on the Adriatic Sea. Portugal, I judge the Iberian Awards, which is like Spain, Portugal, mm-hmm. the Basque Country. And they have a very newly emerging beer market, craft beer mm-hmm. market. And so people always go, oh, beer in Portugal. I'm like, is that any good? And third, I mean, they have great food and wine flavors, so they know flavor. And they're, you know, just some, you know, sometimes it's a matter of places getting fresher hops and mm-hmm. things like that. So I know that's challenging depending on what country you're in.
But I think, I mean, I don't know if you agree, but I think in many countries where the beer culture hasn't been that, like, strong, for mm-hmm. example, in the Nordic countries or the Italy, Spain. I mean, we mm-hmm. these countries all had beer, but they are in different level than, for example, Belgium or
Germany.
Or Germany. I mean, actually, they're more experimental.
They have a lot of experimental, like in Portugal and Italy, they're doing the grape ales. They're doing a lot mm-hmm. of grape ales because they, you know, they have a lot of grapes and they have a lot of experience with the grapes and they have barrels and things. So they're, you know, they've got a lot of wine barrels. So they're doing a lot of sours and things as well and trying different things. And that's what's been really fun for me in Finland also, because you have things, foods that we don't have, so like cloudberries and sours and beers. We don't have cloudberries. We do have some lingonberry, but we don't have enough to be doing, you know, beers mm-hmm. or sours or things with them. So I've had those here. That's been really fun. Satis, we don't have to, you know, either. So that's been
I think sahti, which is a like a really old style mm-hmm. of brewing beer in Finland, that's something that it's interests a lot of people abroad, especially in Finland. It's a smaller scale mm-hmm. of tradition, but I think all beer experts and everybody who's interested about beer and food, they are interested about sahti.
All of my brewer friends have asked, like, they've been following my Facebook mm-hmm. and Instagram. If you want to follow me on Beer Golf Girl Travels on Instagram, and they've been following because they want to know more about the sati. So my co-host on my radio show in Santa Rosa in California is Mark Carpenter, And he was the head brewer for Anchor Brewing Company in San Francisco.
One of the most known and oldest kind of craft beer company States.
Yep, second oldest beer company in the States, still operating. And he had come to Finland. He's come to Finland before when he was like, you know, studying beer. And then also like even later for travel, he's like, you have to like try the sati. And I want to know more about, what's going on there with the sati culture now. And then all these other brewers are asking me about it as well, because it is completely a new thing to Americans. Like sati, I mean, brewers will know about it and hear about it, but most Americans have no idea what sati is. So I'm having fun with posting about that. I'm going to get to judge the sati competition next week.
In Jämijärvi, there's going to be a sati production Finnish championship next weekend on the 7th, I think, in Jämijärvi.
Yes, come on out, guys, because it sounds like a lot of fun, and I can't wait. So so these other countries are doing different things, you know, also like... because they don't have the long tradition like in Spain and Portugal and things of the of their beers. They're doing what they have. So their flavors and things as well. Malta and Greece. Malta's, they're starting to have a little, there's a small country, but they're really into craft beer now. And it's not easy to get it in there. But a friend of mine is importing into Malta if anybody wants to get their beers in there. Panama is another interesting country. I've been there. My friend Brad Krause is brewing at La Rana Dorada, which means the golden frog in Panama, and he's also doing rum there, Pedro Mendiga, and that just so they have the rum bars. So you can go to Panama, where in the old city, Casco Viejo, the old city, and where they just filmed some James Bond episodes, and you can go to the rum bar and have some, you know, great tropical-y, you know, rum there. Malta actually was pretty. I went there a couple years ago after judging in Italy. My friends have England have a home there. Malta was probably the most fascinating country I've been to so far. They have the world's oldest known ruins that are like 4,000 years older than the pyramids. Wow. And the temple, they worshipped a woman. I was like, right on. And I'm going to Estonia tomorrow, to Tallinn. My friend Ermus Roots, that I judge with in Poland, and I think he judges in Italy too. He has Ölenaut.
Ölenaut Brewing. Yeah.
So we're going to try to go over there, and I'm really excited to see the old medieval town of Tallinn as well, because my country's only a couple hundred years old. The Native Americans obviously have been there a lot longer, but they left no trace, very few traces. They didn't, you know, they weren't building a lot of things. They would leave nature the way it was. If they were nomadic, they would move on. And you saw a couple of petroglyphs, you know, writings on the, a couple of things, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference between the Native American older civilization and everybody else, basically.
So, I mean, because we were talking about traveling, now it's a good time to talk about vaccination, because you've been starting vaccinations clinics in the U.S.
I helped start the first non-hospital mass vaccination clinic, basically in America. We were doing that, started doing that in January, at the beginning of January. We started January 7th. And we started first working on the healthcare workers, vaccinating the healthcare workers that were not part of a hospital. Veterinarians, the blood bank workers, dentists, chiropractors, people who still were touching people and having to help take care of, you know, people or their animals, like the veterinarians, because everybody and their grandmother bought a puppy for COVID.
Everybody bought a puppy in Finland as well.
Did they also? Like, I hope everybody keeps taking care of their animals that they got during the lockdown. So we started then, and then we started working on the ages 75 and older, the elderly people, who were very eager to get their vaccines. So back at the beginning, you know, when we had these clinics, we were vaccinating 600 people a day. And people were trying to, like, sneak in the side doors, that people were coming in that weren't the right age. They were
willingness of getting vaccination was so high
at the beginning. Yes.
Yeah.
And so we were really busy. So we had volunteer doctors and nurses that were helping do the shots and the vaccination. We had to do the registration. Mm-hmm. We had to figure everything out on ourselves. And when Trump was in office, he hates California. So we weren't getting all of the equipment that we needed the same way. And our governor, Gavin Newsom, who's an awesome governor, I don't care what anybody else says, he's a really good governor. He helped get us more supplies and things as well. But at the beginning, I was having to, friends of mine were dropping off Band-Aids, plasters, put on after mm-hmm. the shots. And I was calling veterinarians and other dentists to get the right needles and things. But then once President Biden came in, things got a lot better and smoother. So now, we are vaccinating ages 12 and up in America. So we're just doing the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson one shot, and Moderna shots. But everybody who's really wanted to get their shots has gotten their shots. And California's done very well. California is at about 72%. So we've done pretty well.
Almost two shots already.
Yes, two shots. Okay. Yeah, fully vaccinated, two shots. But there's holdouts in the red states that were, Trump-supporting states. Even though he got his shot in January, he didn't tell anybody until, like, March or April. And, yeah, and he could have actually made this a lot easier, and we would probably be doing a lot better now if he encouraged everyone to get their shots. So there's still a lot of holdouts. So places like Missouri, Arkansas, are only like 30% vaccinated. And that is, there's a couple of reasons. A, they are listening to the Republicans and the holdouts and, freedom and, as that now they're getting sick from the Delta variant. Mm-hmm. And there's also a new variant coming in, Lambda, that is not really prevalent yet, but it's one to watch out for. And then there was people who were afraid. They didn't know, gosh, this is fast. Like, not looking at science has been doing these vaccines for a long time. These scientists know what they're doing. And then also the rural areas that have a harder time getting to a city where there was vaccines. So now there's mobile clinics going to them. So I'm hoping that when I get back, I can try to be part of, I had actually really like to come to another country and help. Like my friends in Portugal mm-hmm. or, Africa or someplace like that. But that's going to take a little while. So we got to get the rest of people vaccinated. So if you're going to travel, so I had to go through quite a few hoops to get here to Finland because mm-hmm. You were a responsible country. So I had to show that I was vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I took you don't have to take a COVID test to come into Finland anymore, but I took one anyway. To make sure, just to be careful for mm-hmm. everyone. And if I went into Germany, it's stricter. So it's different.
It is different in every country.
Every country is different, and it changes daily. So instead of like trying to get around the restrictions, just get your vaccine. do the digital passport. Mm-hmm. We have one for California. Not every state has one, unfortunately. But I was able to use that to upload to Finland. And if you come to the states are making you have a COVID test. I'll have to take another test before mm-hmm. I go home, even though I'm vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Everybody come into the states has to get a COVID test. So, just get your vaccine.
Täällä juttelemme matkailu- ruokajuomatoimittaja Herlinda Häräsin kanssa, joka on ollut myös perustamassa näitä rokotusklinikkoja jenkkeihin. Seuraavaksi juttelemme sitten oluesta ja ehkä maistammekin sellaista, mutta sitä ennen vähän musiikkia. Tässä on Britney Spears ja Early Morning.
Vive compagnie drusei. Radio Helsinki.
Ja täällä edelleen jatkamme vielä hetken keskustelua matkailu-, ruoka- ja juomatoimittaja Herlinda Häräsin kanssa. Ja nyt meillä on lasissa olutta. Herlinda, what kind of beer we have now in our glasses?
Well, they would kill me if they knew I brought this with me here, but I brought a Pliny the Elder, Pliny for President, double dry hopped. Mm-hmm. It was a special beer they made for our election in November 2020. I've had it properly stored, nice and cold. But I thought that Annika would get a kick out of this.
Oh, I really do.
And the hops in this are like...
This is something which is really rare in Finland, because Russian River Brewing Company, it's one of the most appreciated company in the whole world, and in Finland, I mean, we don't get the products normally, so it's like really, really something that all the beer fans are like, wow.
You couldn't even get Pliny for President outside of California. You had to special order it, or you had to go to the brewery. And only like a couple of places, like Monk's in Philadelphia, which is a great beer town. That's another thing about Philadelphia. Otherwise, you can't really get Russian River beer, like the Pliny the Elder or any of the other ones, in most of the U.S. It's pretty rare. Our friend asked me today, she's like, because I was saying I had to like carry all this beer. My suitcases are always heavy when I come across the pond flying. She's like, well, did you check to see if you could get the beers here? I'm like, I already know you can't get Russian River beer.
No.
We can't even get it in most of the United States. So it's a rare treat.
It's a really rare treat. I mean, Pliny the Elder is something that, I mean, people talk about. That's like the normal Pliny the Elder is kind of the calibration product for double IPA.
Yep.
So this is something really rare. And I can tell this in Finnish. Eli kyseessä on siis Russian River Brewing Company, joka on tällainen Suomessa niin kuin legendaarisen ja maagisen maineen saanut jenkkipanimo, jonka tuotteita ei saa Suomesta. Ja niillä on tuote nimeltä Pliny the Elder, joka on tällainen kalibrointituote ipoille ja tupla-ipoille. Ja nyt meillä on täällä spessu-versio tästä tuotteesta, mikä on tehty viime syksyn pressanvaaleihin, missä on käytetty vielä vähän enemmän erilaisia humalia. Ja voin kertoa teille, hyvät ystävät, että tämä on vallan ihana olut. Tämä on tosi aromikas ja tasapainoinen ja nautittava ja aivan ihana. Joten kyllä ansaitsee kaiken sen maagisen niin kuin maineensa, mitä niin kuin tällä panimolla ja tällä tuotemerkillä on. I was just saying that this is, I mean, really balanced and the hops are really nicely coming to the nose and the smell as well and as well as the taste. So, I mean, it deserves all the reputation it has.
Well, you're going to have to come out to California and have some Pliny the Elder with me at the bar, at the pub, because I live only 5 miles between the brewery and the pub.
Nice. Let's talk about beer trends for a while, because I mean, Finland, we have this craft beer boom.
Yes.
It's been here for like 10 years. And I mean, I think almost all the trends are coming from the States.
And usually from the West Coast, from California. So, which, you know, of course, we're very proud of. And then what's funny is that the brewers in California, they love, you know, the Czech pils and German beers and you know, British beers and things. And then they're asking about the sati. So it kind of goes all the way around the world, right? But so I noticed here, like New England IPAs here in Finland, which you guys are doing very well. They're really nice. And you're doing a lot of sours here, which are, we have Rare Barrel and the brewery, the Rare Barrel near San Francisco in Berkeley, and one called the Brewery, B-R-U-E-R-Y, down in like San Diego area. And of course, we have Almanac near San Francisco as well. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing a lot of sours on in California, but you guys have had a lot of sours here. And then you're doing things that we don't have, like Lingonberry, which I find like really cool, you know, different. And I'm sure I'll find as we, you know, go around more and more beers that have unique, like we don't do like birch much. And I know that you guys use birch in some things as well. And then in the sati with the juniper, which will, of course, we use juniper with gins. The other thing, speaking of that, you're Finnish gins here are really good. I have quite enjoyed them. Oh, and I also had my first lankero.
Lankero. Yeah. That's a Finnish speciality. That's like a RTD or ready-to-drink alcopop drink. I mean, they have like a lot of international ones like Bacardi Breezes as well and stuff like that. But that's our Finnish one.
The Hartwell, I believe it is. That's the original, right? From the Olympics. Yeah. So I've had a few of those. Very good. And then also my bartender, when I first got to my hotel, Hotel Halka, made me a fresh one with a gin that starts with a K that's from here.
Kure.
Yeah. With some fresh grapefruit juice. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that was so good. Yeah, so you guys are doing some really nice distilling here as well too.
I have to ask because, I mean, all the Finns are always asking that, you know, what do you think about Helsinki and Finland? You've been here now for a week. I mean, we always ask that.
I was really hoping that, you know, even with COVID restrictions, everything, that I still would be able to come because, you know, you keep seeing in the Condé Nast Traveler and in the news, Finland, happiest country in the world. And I'm like, oh, I want some of that. I want to go to Finland. So I was really glad that I still was able to come to Helsinki. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And of course, it was really warm when I got here, which I know is not normal, but I just immediately got out and about and I did a sightseeing tour on a boat. I was by myself like the second day. Annika took me to a couple different places around here for some traditional food. I had the Baltic herring at the beginning, which is delicious. And then the next day I did a sightseeing tour around the harbor and it went around Suomalinna, which looked beautiful. I haven't been on there yet, but I will. And it went by the Arctic icebreaker ships.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So we don't have those in California. So
obviously.
Yeah. So that was really exciting. And I saw a few friends of mine from like the military and stuff, the Navy in the U.S. were liking my post on that. I went to, let's see, you have all these, you have a mixture of old and new, modern. So there's these beautiful old buildings, you know, with the columns and, you know, fresh flowers around. And like that Kapeli, that restaurant.
Yeah.
Very nice, beautiful place. They were playing music on the grandstand and people were outside, you know, having a drink. And so I had a lankero there and sat down and just kind of absorbed everything. And people were here, come sit here by me, you know. And then and that's an example of a really beautiful old classic building in, you know, in Finland. And then there is the Amos Rex, really modern looking area there. And you have like, you know, really hip pubs and modern design, a lot of graphic, like modern graphic, almost like graffiti kind of graphic, like on your labels, even for your beer and everything too. Everybody's wearing dresses, really cool dresses. I want a dress from Finland. Beautiful clothing that you guys are all wearing. And the other thing I've noticed too is you wear a lot of color here. And there's a lot of color everywhere. There's like in the buildings, on your walls, and on your clothes. Like in Paris, even in June, as beautiful as Paris is, people are wearing black and white and gray. I'm like, hey, and here's Finland full of color. And I know that in the winter, you know, probably gets kind of
it's mellow.
Yeah, somber winter. But then you still have color on your walls and in your design. Lots of people have plants. Lots of plants. So I see how you keep that sunny, you know, side. You know, even when it's winter. You know, the sauna culture. I see why also everybody has beautiful skin here. And I truly believe that's got to be the sauna, keeping your skin really, everybody's got beautiful skin here. What else? Like I said, the mass transit system here is efficient and right on time. Everybody here is wearing masks. For my friends who might listen to this podcast, people in California have been asking me, are people wearing masks or are people being safe? I'm like, Finland's pretty darn safe. I would say you guys are doing a really good job on masking and there's sanitizer and stuff everywhere. And that's probably why you guys are doing better than a lot of other countries. And Let's see what else. So there's a lot of remodeling and construction going on in Helsinki.
Yeah, that's always during the summer.
Yeah. So I can see where you guys are always evolving. I haven't been to the museums here yet, and that is top goal for me now. That the Suomenpalas Olut that I was here to judge mm-hmm. is over, and then I also went to the beer festival, which was pouring that day, but it was super fun. But I want to go to the National Museum and learn more about the history of Finland. So the prehistory, during the wars, medieval. I have I've been helping different military, organizations and things like all my life. And I took my father to the 75th anniversary of D-Day ceremony in Normandy 2 years ago. And because he does the funeral, he was in the Navy, uh-huh. and he does the funerals for the veterans, old and young, unfortunately. But he conducts the 21-gun salutes for them. So we got invited to go to the D-Day 75th anniversary ceremony at the American Cemetery there. And President Macron there was there. And President Trump, he managed to stay on his speech somehow. One of the organization people told me, when they said, I told them I was going, mm-hmm. coming to Finland, they said, you need to find out about their World War I and their World War II in Finland. He said that the Finnish people were really strong. And he goes, you need to go and see, more about that. So I'm looking forward to going to some museums, design museums also.
We have a lot of museums in mm-hmm. Helsinki.
So what would be the top three museums you think I should go to?
The National here? Museum, then the Chiasma, and I would say the third one is the Biennale, the Vallisaari.
Oh, right. And that's a temporary art exhibit, yes. Right? I'm going to the Biennale in Venice, Italy next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Be good to compare them, right?
Täällä juttelemme matkailu-, ruoka- ja juomatoimittaja Herlinda Häräsin kanssa suoraan Yhdysvalloista. Ja olemme puhuneet jo vähän oluesta, olemme puhuneet matkailusta, mitä kannattaa nähdä Jenkeissä, mitä kannattaa nähdä muualla. Pikkasen rokotustilanteesta Amerikassa ja paljon muusta. Ja hetken puhumme vielä mainosten jälkeen siitä, että mihin hän haluaa mennä seuraavaksi. Olkaa kuulolla.
Merkittävien yksityishenkilöiden seurassa. Tämä on Radio Helsinki.
Meillä on täällä muutama minuutti vielä Herlinda Häräs, joka on jenkkiläinen ruokajuomatoimittaja, matkailutoimittaja. Olemme jutelleet vaikka mitä täällä jo. Kaiken tämän kuulette sieltä Radio Helsingin On Demand puolelta huomisesta lähtien. But Herlinda, what kind of dreams you have about traveling, food and beer?
For my time in Finland and
In general as well.
Well, first,
your time in Finland. You always mentioned Sahti.
Mm-hmm. And I get to judge. How cool is that? I get to judge a Sahti competition. That's pretty exciting. And all my brewer friends are like in America are like, wow. So they think that's pretty cool.
And then Tallinn, of course.
Yeah. Tallinn has been on my bucket list because I love medieval history in architecture mm-hmm. and things is, I've heard it's like just beautiful. And so I'm really excited to get to go to that. And I get to go with our friend, Marjo Kaisa. So, and she mm-hmm. She says she knows it really well. And that is what makes me luckier than a lot of travelers mm-hmm. because I go for beer, for traveling and touring and for food, you automatically have some friends mm-hmm. and some people who are happy to show you around. Mm. And I've had people tell me, like, friends in the States is like, I don't know, understand how you get to do all these, things and go all these places and stay at people's houses and stuff. Like, all you have to do is say yes.
So beer is the key.
Beer is the key, but also mm-hmm. just saying yes. Everybody has friends or family somewhere, and people invite people all the time, and some people just go yeah, but no, just actually do it. Say yes, do it, save up your money. But if you're doing it with friends or a guide that's mm-hmm. a friend, it doesn't cost you as much either. And and then reciprocate, invite I hope you come to California. Yeah. You're all welcome in California. Come on down. I'll show you around.
You're going to be a queue, having a queue.
I'm actually a certified tourism ambassador for Sonoma County for my area. And then the other things I want to do too is I want to go to some museums, as I said. I want to learn. I want to go to some vintage shops. I saw there's some really nice looking kitchen and vintage shops around here. I want to get a dress, either finished, like design. I want to get some spices. So the grocery store is one of my favorite things to do in a foreign country is to go to just the regular grocery store. To go to, you know, get some spice mixes, things like that. I had a salmon soup at Kaisa's house. That was one of the best things I've ever eaten. It was so good. And I wanted to talk about also, there is this myth about Finnish people being kind of stern and not friendly. I'm like, where the hell did that come from? Because everyone I've met, strangers and people, of course, in the beer, which is gives you an automatic kind of in. But even when I've been like looking for the taxi stand or am I at the right, you know, train station, you know, people have offered to help or they've helped me and everybody's smiling, you know, people are friendly. Mm-hmm. That is a total myth about that. And so I understand why Finland is considered the happiest country in the world. There are so many reasons. We don't have enough time for me to list it. But I have been so, I knew I'd have fun. I knew I'd have a good time because it's beer. Beer people are always fun. But I love this even more than I could have possibly have imagined. I mean, I'm walking around, you know, this beautiful, you know, the market square, and I had some little fish, fried little fish, and I'm sitting there, and a seagull came and took my fish off my plate. But, you know, even that's like, that's an experience. I see everything as an experience. Even getting lost is an experience. So just kind of like try not to stress out too much. Do your research before you go somewhere. That does help a bit. I try to always, when I travel, I try to learn a few things before I go. I try to learn please and thank you and where's the bathroom, the toilet, in that language. And of course, the words for beer and the words for cheers for toasting. So I can say cheers in like 15 different languages.
Wow, that's good. You should list that somewhere.
I think I will. Maybe I will. So you and Maria Marticus are giving me some ideas on with the traveling and the books, because Tara Nuren from Forbes, who's a great writer, she just wrote a book about the history of women in beer. And she's got like the Sati and she's Marja Kais is actually in the book. We go different places together. And for, you know, beer or spirits or food or the Smithsonian or something, like, man, we should put that in a book because, and then listing like how to say cheers, like in Welsh, it's yakida. And so in Lithuanian, it's vikata. And in Spanish, of course, it's salud, to your health.
And in Hungarian, it's agesegedra.
Agesegedra?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. See, now I know another one. Yeah. I need to get to Hungary as well. There's a few different, I still haven't been to the Czech Republic yet. I would I'd like to go there for beer. I'd like to go to Budapest. I want to go to Japan. That's my father's favorite country. He said that Japan was his favorite country for everything from food to the people, and he likes clean and efficient. He said in New Zealand was the most beautiful country he'd been to, and he said Spain had the most beautiful people.
This is a good line to start, to finish our interview. Thank you, Helin Daharas.
Kiitos.
And have a really nice time in Finland.
Oh, I can't wait for my next week, how much fun we're going to have.
Eli kuulitte juuri pitkän ja perusteellisen haastattelun Helin Daharasista, joka on siis pitkän linjan matkailu-, ruoka- ja juomatoimittaja, matkustelut ympäriinsä. Ja kaiken tämä kuulee sieltä On Demandin ja Radio Helsingin nettisivuilta huomisesta lähtien.
Fjongaa ilman vilunkia.
Tämä on Radio Helsinki.